Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. This month, we're moving into the category of reading. During the summer, a lot of people do what they don't normally do, and that is read. And we have some good resources available for those who support the ministry this month. The Last Disciple series, it's a trilogy, it's historical fiction. What it does, though, is it gives you a handle on the logical truth propositions that are part and parcel of a healthy worldview on eschatology. I think you'll find the books incredibly insightful, stimulating. They're page turners, again, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Should also mention that June is a very significant month in our history each and every year. December is the most critical month, and lagging not far behind is June. This is the end of our fiscal year, not obviously the calendar year, but the fiscal year. And so if you can support the ministry, it would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. This is also an important month for me because I'm having a stem cell transplant this month. The donor is none other than one of my boys, one of my 12 children, Paul Stephen, and he has a man bun, so I hope that the stem cell transplant doesn't give me a man bun. No, I'm very, very grateful that he is my donor. He is a fantastic Christian, deeply committed to the Lord, and this is going to be an incredible time where I'm going to be receiving his blood as my blood. Pretty cool. It has all kinds of spiritual ramifications. I'll talk about that in the months to come, but his blood system, his immune system is going to become my own. So I'll be like a 25-year-old chasing my wife around the house again, I suppose. But anyway, all of that taking place this month. So for those of you that know that I've been battling cancer, this is a potential cure. And I'm really looking forward to the process. Getting back to reading, the numbers of people not reading is simply staggering. And I hope that you will become the exception to the rule. A full quarter of the population did not so much as read a single book in the past year. But the good news is that, as with technology, all of us can get hooked on reading all over again. There are so many benefits to reading, it's hard to know where to begin. Reading improves discipline, vocabulary, it improves memory, creativity, reasoning, and even relaxation. Plus, it can even stave off diseases such as Alzheimer's. More importantly, reading engages you with another mind. And when it comes to reading Scripture, the implications are simply staggering. By its words, we are brought into direct communication with the mind of God. And not only so, we have access to the minds of writers directly inspired by the divine. Thus, in the pages of the inspired text, We have mind-to-mind connection with minds that were awash in uncreated energy. Well, there's much more I could say about reading, and maybe I will, but we have a number of books, as I just mentioned, available. The Last Disciple trilogy, Has God Spoken, even the audio version of Has God Spoken, Muslim, these books available, as my other books available for those who support the ministry all this month, the critical month of June. It is so important that we achieve a financial stability as a result of the month of June each year. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or as I mentioned, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go to the phone lines. David in Federal Way, Washington, listening on KCIS. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi.
I watched the Jimmy Swaggart TV program, SBN. I think it's Sun Life Broadcasting Network. And they have a telethon or Bible-thon. Is it okay to contribute money? And is it okay to watch? Is he a Christian? Is it okay to watch Jimmy Swaggart on TV?
Well, here's what I would say about that. When you're investing in stocks, you obviously do a lot of research and make sure that you're investing in stocks that bring good returns. And I think from a spiritual standpoint, you have to take the same kind of disposition where you want to invest in ministries that are really making a difference for time and for eternity. Unfortunately, I would not put Jimmy Swaggart's ministry in that category. He teaches all kinds of falsehoods, including falsehoods that have to do with the very nature of God. For example, he teaches that within the Godhead, there are three separate and distinct persons, each person with his own personal spirit body, his own personal soul, his own personal spirit. And this is a significant doctrinal error, which we refer to as tritheism. He believes as well that God's body is always in one place at one time, which is more akin to Mormonism than to Christianity. For these reasons and many others, I don't recommend his ministry. He's not a reliable teacher and has not been a reliable teacher for a long, long time. We have a fact sheet at the Christian Research Institute, which does involve Jimmy Swaggart, so I don't recommend his ministry at all.
Oh, I watched Francis and Friends on the channel. They have a panel, and they have a call-in show. They answer questions about, and Jimmy Swaggart had these things on the cults. He said that the truth about Catholicism.
Yeah, that's another problem with Swaggart. I mean, he calls Roman Catholicism a cult. Now, I think that Roman Catholicism does have significant error. I have not been bashful about talking about that on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but it's definitely not a cult. It is a true religion. It has significant error. But you think today about Roman Catholicism, some of the great, great apologists in the Christian world are Roman Catholics, so it is hardly a cult. And there are many other things that he does with respect to the cults. He was defrocked by the Assemblies of God, and after being defrocked, he distanced himself from the Assemblies of God by referring to it as a cult. He even went as far as to allege that some of the officials were in league with the pornographers. So rather than confess his own sins, what he did was he went after the Assemblies of God, which is anything but a cult. Again, I have significant differences with the Assemblies of God, but it is certainly a denomination that is acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy, and there are many fantastic Assembly of God pastors in the country today. So again, I'm not part of that denomination, and I have significant differences with it, but to call it a cult is completely disingenuous. It is just dead wrong, and I couldn't disagree more. So again, all in all, I wouldn't recommend Jimmy Swaggart. There are many good Bible teachers available in the church today. He would not be one of them. And I'm particularly critical of him because of the fact that virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And this is where many of his heresies begin. Misconceptions with respect to the nature of God. Coming to the station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Be right back.
Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we return to our callers. Next up is Jennifer, listening in Omaha, Nebraska, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Hey, my question for you is regarding fatal determinism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very familiar with what it is. I'm a Christian. I've been saved my whole life. And up until a couple of years ago, I was a rather prideful Christian because I kind of had never done any of the Dirty Dozen type, you know. And so I figured God was really happy with me and so on. Well, then I went through a couple of years, just a really hard times, and the Lord, it was the best time of my life spiritually. Hardest ever, but best time spiritually. And God just broke my heart and gave me so much compassion for people I couldn't tolerate before. And I learned to see God as really, really good and very trustworthy. And as a result, I dove into Scripture because I was like, I'm going to learn this word. I want God to use this. And in the last couple of months, I sunk into quite a depression because I came across the predestination verses, and I thought, I'll look up a commentary, I'll figure this out, move right on. And I got myself in way over my head. I read hours of debates and articles. And I don't believe fatal determinism is true. But now that I've heard it, I feel like I've been poisoned. And I don't know how to read the Bible anymore without hearing something negative. Because there's people I'm praying for. And now all I can think about is God himself may be my opponent. And if he is, then this is worse than atheism. Because if atheism were true, then nothing happens and you die. But if fatal determinism is true and God created the majority of creation for his glory, you go to hell. And then said, don't you ever question me. Who are you to talk back to God? It just doesn't match the gift that I felt like I've received in my relationship with God the last couple of years. And I just wondered if you have any advice for how to get that out of my head. How do you get back to a place of really trusting God?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I struggled with the same thing. I grew up in a context where I was taught theistic fatalism. A fatalist believes the future, especially regarding the destiny of the individual, is fixed. A theistic fatalist believes that a personal God unconditionally determines where individuals will go when they die, whether that be to heaven or to hell. I grew up in that context, and I struggled with it mightily. And, you know, part of what you said in the prologue to your question really applied to my life as well, in that that's what drove me away from the church for many, many years. I myself embraced atheism, and then I realized I was no better off because atheism is all about determinism. You're determined now by brain chemistry and genetics, but you don't have any free will. I came back, interestingly enough, to the Lord in the context of a church that taught fatalistic determinism, which is part of the irony of God. But in doing that, I was also really challenged to memorize and examine the Scripture. And I think if you do that fairly, you don't find fatalistic determinism at all in Scripture. You find that God created people with the ability to act or to act otherwise. And I think we see this in our everyday lives. When we do something, we don't think to ourselves, wow, I had no choice. I had to do that. We realize, no, I did that. I was involved. I'm culpable for what I did. I made a choice. I could have made another choice. But as I always say, I mean, if you look at the macro issue, God creates the universe in such a way that a fall is possible because he creates within the universe volitional beings. So God did create the potential for evil. We actualized that evil by our choices. And if you look throughout the Scriptures, yes, it is true. You can look at passages, and if you don't read those passages properly, you can come away with a sense of fatalistic determinism. In other words, you're asking the wrong question from the passage or failing to realize that what Paul oftentimes does is he'll take a passage from Isaiah 29 or Ezekiel 18, but he won't quote the whole of it. He'll just take a portion of it. He'll quote it. in hopes that you're familiar with the context. So when you read about the potter and the clay, you can go back and read about that in the Old Testament, and you find out, no, it's not as though God is saying that he creates vessels for ignoble purposes because he's capricious. No, he creates them for ignoble purposes because that is what they want. In other words, every time he gives them a chance to repent, they respond in disobedience. So there's a context, and you have to realize, and what's nice about modern day Bibles is you can usually look at the passage that's being quoted, and then you can look in the center column and you can see, whoa, there's a reference back to a particular passage in the Old Testament. When you read that passage in the Old Testament, you find out, wow, this passage is not saying that God is capricious. He rather creates vessels for noble purposes because they respond in obedience, and ignoble purposes because they respond in disobedience. And then if you go through the whole of Scripture, you'll see passages like Jesus, where he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets." I mean, we're talking about God's people. They're killing the prophets. They're stoning those sent to you. How often, says Jesus, "I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." But then Jesus doesn't say, "But you were predestined not to be able to do anything else." He says, "But you were not willing." Or in Acts 7, the prophetic word, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit." In other words, you resist what could be yours. Or Luke chapter 7, "But the Pharisees and experts of the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized." They rejected God's purpose. John chapter 9, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt therefore still remains." So I don't think anybody's going to stand in the greatest size with people from every tongue and tribe and language and people and say, "You know what, God, you created me in such a way. Now you're dispensing me in the same way. I had no choice in the matter." I think we will be justly and condignly condemned because we chose of our volition to reject God's goodness, glory, and grace. And by the way, that's the separation that we have for all eternity. I mean, God doesn't send people to hell for some capricious reason. He sends them to hell because that's precisely what they want. They don't want a relationship with him in time, and he doesn't force himself on them in eternity.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful. And when it comes to praying for the lost, we know God doesn't force himself on anybody against their will. But for people who we know they're deceived, and maybe they think they're doing okay. I have a loved one who I think of in 1 John, I think it is, where he says, "If you love the world, then the love of God is not in you. And if you don't have the love of God in you, then you don't belong to Christ." And that's scaring me because I'm finding myself then wandering into legalism and saying, what if that person really isn't saved? And so I'm praying for them. And I just, you know, I guess I'm wanting to remind myself and look for some encouragement that prayer for the lost or prayer for the weak Christian is effective. That doesn't mean it guarantees what we want, but it's powerful.
Yeah, it is very, very powerful. But ultimately, what is the power that makes all the difference all the time? That power is the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are called to pray for the sick, just as we are called to present the gospel for salvation. Our prayer or our presentation of the gospel doesn't save anyone. It's the Holy Spirit who changes the heart. And so if we pray for the sick, that prayer is only efficacious if it is in concert with the will of God. So we don't want to try to override the will of God in any way, but God's will is that people turn to him. So when we pray for the lost, we're not overriding the will of God in some sense or doing something that God doesn't want. Jesus did everything imaginable so that he could reconcile the world to himself. So he's not looking for a loophole to keep people out of the kingdom. He is wanting everyone to come. And I think this is one of the passages that meant so much to me. Jennifer, in my life is the passage in Acts chapter 17, where Paul says, from one man God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the time set for them. He determined the places that they would live. And then Paul says he did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So what is Paul saying? Well, everyone has the light of creation. Everyone has an internal light, the light of conscience. And if we respond to that, God will give us the light of Christ. In fact, we'll go to extraordinary means to give us the light of Christ. Means that transcend human agency even. So God is not willing that any should perish. He has made the provision that all might turn to him. Not the least of which is the wooing of the Holy Spirit that I alluded to earlier. So he woos by his Spirit all, but he doesn't force anything. We can reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit, or we can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Wish I could say more, but we're out of time for today's edition of the Bible Answerman broadcast. We'll see you right back here Monday. Look forward to answering more of your questions then.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answerman broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.